Welcome to another episode of Intentional Partnerships. I'm here with my partner, Lindsay Fortin, from Parents as Teachers National Center. And we are excited to have our guest today, Carla Cush. She is a principal in Madison, Nebraska at the middle school and got a great story. And we're looking forward to talking to her today.
And so today we're going to talk to Carla not only about the awesome work that's happening in their school in general around family engagement, but thinking about this idea of initiative. A lot of conversations that we have with people around family engagement come to, you know, this question about how do we even start? And that seems to be often a challenge, whether that's resources or people or messaging or any of the challenges that come with getting these processes started, even if you know it's a great idea. And so that's really kind of what we're going to focus on today. So Carla, welcome. If you just want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your school, just to get us started so we can kind of ground ourselves in who we're talking to.
I have been the middle school principal here now for, this is only my second year in Madison, but I've also been the counselor at the school. I was for 3 years prior to being the principal. So I was able to get to know my students, you know, what's going on a lot of times personally in their lives or just their day-to-day challenges that they've had, whether it was from, you know, moving from another country to Madison first time, or maybe just from another school. It's all about change and adjusting to that change. Just a lot of what was drawing these different families to Madison had a lot to do with the Tyson plant that is in town that processes meat, that work is there for their families, which a lot of times was huge, that was able to supply those families with, you know, what they needed to live.
So being a counselor gives you a super unique role as a principal. I think I have also a background as a school social worker, and I think that's not a track that is often taken, but is a super important track. I know you said it gave you an opportunity to get to know families and building up to that, but how has that really shaped how you work with families as a principal?
It's a lot to do with creating that foundation of relationship with the families. When I was a counselor, a lot of times I would meet the parents as they brought their new student in. So I was able to meet them that way, but I will continue to try to do that now as principal, where I'm not just, oh, here's your new student. You know, we placed them in this class. I like to sit down with them. I like to meet the parents. I like giving the tours around the school so I can get a better understanding of what's bringing them here. What situation are they in? Because every single person I've met, you know, their situation has all been different.
You have that opportunity to meet with those parents and also the size of your school. And so talk about definitely a tight environment, a close environment that mm-hmm. doesn't always make it easy necessarily, but talk about the size of both the town and the school. And now, again, your history as you kind of come up with those kids.
Oh, the town, I think, is at about, I want to say about 800. I might be completely off. My school, Madison Public Schools, K through 12, we say is around 500 students. And then here in the middle school, I have 100.
But there's always 10 that provide those challenges. If you have 200 kids, 2,000 kids, end up working with 10.
I'm able, I now that's my second year, and again, like, I've been the counselor. When you say 100, I know all of the students' first names. I know them all. I might not know everything about their home life, but I could tell you I know a lot about the majority of their home life, and that, you know, like, who's at home? Is it mom or just dad, or do they have a lot of siblings? Are they living with aunts and uncles? I do know a lot of that, but for the most part, I know who that student is here while they're here at school with us. Are they working hard? What does this student need, you know, so we can help them learn the best? I think that helps when it's a smaller number.
And, you know, you talk about all these people who are at home with these kiddos. So getting to know, we always talk about that you can't support a kid without knowing their family, right? Kids don't come in isolation. And when you think about the families and how you guys, what your strategy is for really pulling families into school and engaging them in the process, can you just talk a little bit about what you guys are doing or kind of how that started, or just really what your ideas are around what families' role is in that process?
I think families need to know what's going on with their students in school, so it gets them more involved in general. Everybody, for parents and students and you and I, we all are all doing tons of different things. So to keep track of what is happening, I think it's critical to involve parents in their school life. It's the simple call home and saying, hey, there's a game tonight, just to help them get a reminder of it, or, you know, text messages on what we've seen awesome happening at school with their students, just so they are able to have that conversation at home to create relationships at home with their kids. Because a lot of times their parents are working, they're trying to support their families. So when they are home together, it might be a very short amount of time and maybe you have nothing in common. But if they know what's happening during the school day, that can help create that, you know, conversation starter, which builds on the relationship, which then builds on, hey, they do care what's going on, you know, during school. So I have to, you know, I want to please them and do my best.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love that you're really thinking intentionally about engaging families isn't just about what's happening inside your walls.
Right.
You're intentionally trying to spark those relationships at home, which, like you've talked about, that is the basis. You know, we talk at parents as teachers, we're in early childhood, and that's what we're trying to do is build relationships with parents and their kiddos so that those relationships are carried then on further. You know, that exact same idea that we're not just engaging once they get in the doors, what's happening outside to spur those skills that then can bring them in possibly later or just support what's happening at home.
Well, and you've got an interesting situation because as we talk about this, if people don't know, you're talking about a small town, rural vibe, but you do have the Tyson plant there. So talk about kind of the demographics of your school as well. You've got 100 kids, but they're not all, you know, corn-fed kids, if you will. They're not all corn huskers, a lot of different backgrounds. And so tell us about those kids and how is that challenge from these different cultures impacting this?
That is, I think that's what makes me love this school so much. Every single student is so unique. Where they come from. I mean, we have about 75-80% Hispanic Latino students here. About 5% of our students are Burmese, Thailand area. With Hispanics, I know we have Cubans and also students from mountains in Guatemala. It varies. We also have students who are from California or other students from North Carolina. It's all over. They don't have that same background, you know, growing up like I did in Nebraska where, yeah, I grew up on a farm. My dad was a farmer. And yes, we harvest corn every fall. It's completely different for all these kids. But at the same time, they're all working to become something. And it's just helping them realize that they're more alike than they are different.
Well, and how does that, with the parents coming from different cultures and then also different school experiences, how does that change the way you either approach them or communicate with them? But from these different cultures, and I know from those immigrant populations, they really value education. But how does all that difference change the way you message? You know, as we talk about initiative, you guys have had to do more just to make the step. I don't think they're more difficult as families, but you guys have really taken that step. We wanted to talk to you guys about that initiative of, okay, we're going to really take that step to bring these families in and to reach out to them. So how has that been implemented or thought about within that context, different cultures in that place?
Well, parents are parents, and parents do want the best for their kids. They, like you said, they do value the education, perhaps more than your citizen of people who've been citizens for how long, to help the parents understand that we are here to provide the best education possible and that we need them to kind of reinforce what we are trying to do at school. So the more we get that message out to parents, the more they understand that and the more they're on the same page as us. It's truly the simple, hey, your student was awesome today in art. You should see this picture they drew, or the kindness that students show. That's mostly what it's all about. And when they see that we want them involved and to be seen, be known, to help us, then it works. It's all kind of like moving in one direction together.
Well, and I mean, it sounds like what you're really talking about is being partners with parents.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is really important. And when we talk about partnering with parents, that's something that we emphasize, I would say. Mike, I don't want to speak for you, but I think Strong Fathers does as well.
Absolutely.
And that can be super challenging to know what it actually means to partner with families. But I, you know, that you're highlighting that it starts with that relationship building and then saying, you know, not just you need us, but we need you. We all need each other in this process is a really important message to get across to families, I think.
I think our high school athletic program, we do that well. What I was really impressed with our athletic director is he had all of the coaches go out to the homes, and this was all of the track students last year. And literally went into the homes of each athlete and just talked about expectations, or it was just a simple, hi, nice to meet you. That was very, like, an awesome move, because just to let them know, like, hey, we want to know, like, what's happening, so then we can understand if a student misses school, why, adds up more.
And how often do parents drop their kids off at an athletic team without ever, you know, they don't, especially like track, right? They're one of a lot of kids there. You don't always know the coaches and where your kid is.
Yep, becoming that familiar face and somebody you can trust. And it's great. Now it's in another season, and like I can definitely pick out my students' parents and kind of talk to them a little bit. Or today I had a conversation with a seventh grade boy, like, oh, I talked to your mom last night, you know, talked to him about his siblings, just other things like that other than school.
Right.
So, you know, and that's where you can, you know, get people to understand that you do care. It's not just, you know, get your grades done, get your homework in, things like that. I really think the parents, now that we're going to do our second year with Strong Fathers and Strong Families, the parents are seeing that we're making that effort. I think it's great that Mike does speak Spanish, because, you know, like they do not see that all the time.
A redheaded guy speaking Spanish? Yeah, that is...
Yeah.
That in and of itself is a neat party trick, but it goes back to what you're talking about. They first off give me grace and go, he's trying. The other part is, though, like you said, all we're trying to do is communicate that we believe you're important here. And, you know, for my part, it's like, you're more important than me being embarrassed because I'm going to be when I say something stupid. Just that greeting and the fact that you guys do have staff members, you know, and I was just up there a week ago now and looking for someone to interpret to your Burmese families, which are a small percent. I mean, any percentage is important, but you guys have, that's, you know, why we want to talk about initiative, because you guys have taken those steps to try to reach these families and not just said, yeah, we don't know what to do. I mean, you are reaching out to these families and, you know, we got involved with you guys because we can reach, you know, Hispanic families and dads come out and all those pieces. And then the other part is you're doing everything you can in all these different aspects. You know, your size gives you some advantage at a moment because you can get to know these kids. But you guys also have the staff, like you said, your athletic director and your superintendent and all these folks that are looking to, nobody's on their own. You guys are all incorporated to do what you can for kids, which involves that family. In your situation, as you've come in, part of the reason we're there is kind of a turnaround situation. You know, you've got some kids with some struggles. You kind of inherited some challenges that, you know, don't go away overnight. You've got some challenges. What are some of the things that you're doing along with that academically and or differently to bring your staff into the family piece, bring your families into the academic piece? You know, what are some of those bigger chunks or even those small chunks that you see making a difference?
I think, honestly, we do a lot of texting our parents. Parents reply the most through texting, not emails or calls or setting up meetings. It's as simple, like we're communicating like you communicate with anybody else. It's texting. They're just seeing the simplicity in it, where it's just a simple, you know, maybe one-liner. Remind your son or daughter they're missing this assignment tonight, or so-and-so had an awesome day today. Just simple things like that, just to hear from them. And then the teachers, I just think they go above and beyond to make it to some of the students' events or to congratulate students when they are doing the right thing.
Right.
So when you think about staff, I think that's one of the things that we've heard. And also we know that research shows is that, you know, it has to be an all staff effort. But when you think about who is a part of your schools and yourself having gone through kind of a hiring process in the last couple of years, is there anything in particular that is part of your hiring process to make sure that that's a value that staff is holding? Or how, I guess just, you know, how are you getting people on the same page?
We're pretty upfront with them, where we say, you know, give them different examples of students, a different way that a student could be pretty challenging. And we ask them, you know, what would you do here, or the scenario. But we let them know the biggest thing is you can't just put that student and send them to the principal's office. We want to first know, like, what they tried to do to make an effort with that student. They have to triage with them. They have to meet up with that student before that student comes back into their class. You give that student time, you know, whether it's during a plan period or before or after school or in a lunchtime, to just have that conversation to make it right for that student to then come back in that classroom. If there's continual behavior, you know, we try to contact home. We do this thing where if a kid just is really, I don't know, kind of pushing your buttons for a while, we make that then our focus. Like, that's going to be, we call it our 2x10 kid, where we are going to meet with that one student for 2 minutes a day for 10 days. And we're going to purposely, you know, intentionally go to that student and just say, what's happening? Or, hey, how was your day so far? Just, you know, what did you do over the weekend? Just to create that relationship again. And I think that is our biggest piece, is just to keep building the relationships, whether it's at home or with that student.
Well, and I love that. And that's that initiative piece. You know, that's the deal of, we're not, this kid's pushing my buttons. We got to do something about the kid. Yep. No, we're going to do something with and for the kid. And you know, and you probably experienced this, 2 minutes with a kid that's pushing your buttons is hard enough, but you want me to do it. I know the conversations you've had to have had. You want me to do what? For how long? With who? I would think that if you're doing it, you see the results of that. You're taking that initiative again with those kids. What are some of the results you've seen from some of those efforts?
The behaviors disappeared. The behaviors we weren't liking.
Yeah.
Are gone. I see smiles more because the students know I actually do know what's going on in their life, and I actually do care a little bit. And that's same with the teachers, where just from a few of the students who I'm thinking about, who were maybe couple of our students who we, you know, had conversations about daily or weekly, they're doing great this year. It's almost like, whoa, what happened? But I mean, it's just actually unbelievable. And of course, there's still a couple who are still challenges, but they have more better days than they had last year.
Right. Those are your 10 by 10 by 10.
2 by 10.
Yeah, but those are the couple of challenges are like 10 by 10 by 10.
Yes,
holy moly. 10 minutes for 10 periods. 10 days. Yeah, absolutely. We love what you guys are doing. We at Strong Fathers are proud to be a part of a small part of y'all's efforts. And I like getting out into the country, and the diversity of your school is a lot of fun for us as well. But we appreciate you joining us. I love what you guys are doing. And I really appreciate you sharing that with our audience. I know they're going to have a lot to take away from it. And so I just appreciate you joining us, Lindsay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that we've tried to do with this podcast and that I love that we're doing is getting to hear from people in all different places. And hearing from a middle school is not a view we've had yet. And I think that's a critical time for both students and families. And so hopefully we have some, I mean, I think there definitely are, but hopefully people will take away some of the things that you guys are doing to really think about what it means to them to partner with families and build those relationships and see those outcomes.
Well, thanks for joining us, Carla. We appreciate all the work you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. We appreciate you coming in and look forward to seeing you here in, what is it, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, we'll be up there. And it is, so full disclosure, we have 3 programs scheduled with the school district this year. It's typically what we do. And last year, I was there on January 15th, and a boy from Texas went up there, and the wind chill was negative 22. And so Carla has been very gracious to me. I'll come if you need me, but she's like, you know, we don't think you handle it very well. So we're going to have all our programs before January. We don't want the Texas boy to freeze to death. So. But again, we appreciate what you guys are doing, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
This podcast has been a collaboration between Parents as Teachers National Center and Strong Fathers, Strong Families, LLC. To learn more, visit us at either www.parentsasteachers.org or www.strongfathers.com. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook